In the holy name of Jesus, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Tonight we talk about the real danger as we hear of a very dangerous story for tonight. First of all, from Amos, let me share with you again a couple of verses there. Amaziah, the false priest of Bethel, sent a message to Jeroboam, king of Israel, complaining, "Amos is raising a conspiracy against you in the very heart of Israel. The land cannot bear all his words." For this is what Amos is saying, "Jeroboam will die by the sword, and Israel will surely go into exile away from their native land." Amos is in trouble. And then let me share with you also from the gospel reading, again from Mark chapter 6. King Herod was greatly distressed, but because of his oaths and his dinner guests, he did not want to refuse the daughter of Herodias, who had danced for him. So he immediately sent an executioner with orders to bring John's head. The man went, beheaded John in the prison. What kind of rating would you give to this story of Mark chapter 6? If it was made into a movie, I kind of remember that the Passion of the Christ was rated R because it was so bloody. Wouldn't we rate this story as R as well? The beheading of John by Herod, a terrible thing that happened to John. But it's an important lesson for us, not necessarily a Sunday school lesson, but a very important lesson for us in that John kept his head spiritually, even though he lost his head physically, and Herod lost a lot more than just his head. For you and I tonight, how important it is for us to understand the real danger in life isn't what might happen to us here, but the eternal welfare that you and I have. John the Baptist was not politically correct. He didn't worry about being politically correct. As you remember, John the Baptist spoke God's word, and he was kind of a strange fella. He was he was different from the culture that was around him. And he boldly spoke God's word. He even said to King Herod, the one with the ultimate authority and power, "You're sinning by taking your brother's wife. It was wrong for you to take Herodias as your wife because she's supposed to be your brother's wife." Well, how interesting it is that the scriptures tell us that even though John was reprimanding Herod, Herod was kind of interested in what John had to say. How interesting. Mark writes for us here, Herodias, all right, the wife, nursed a grudge against John and wanted to kill him. But she was not able to because Herod feared John and protected him, knowing him to be a righteous and a holy man. When Herod heard John, he was greatly puzzled, yet he liked to listen to him. How interesting that God worked through John the Baptist to get the ear of Herod. And Herod was listening to this words that John was speaking, even though they were words of law, and they were starting to work in his heart. And Herod would listen to him every once in a while, but was kind of puzzled by him. Now, God's word did not completely change Herod's heart, as we see in the story for today. And Herodias sees the chance that she wanted. Herodias did not have a changed heart at all. And on Herod's birthday, as he had this celebration, one of the things for entertainment was send in her daughter, and she danced, and she must have been a beautiful dancer. And Herod makes a foolish oath. You know the story. And he makes the oath and says, "Anything you want up to half of my kingdom." And what does the daughter ask for but the head of John the Baptizer? What a terrible thing. Herod realized how terrible that was. Herod did not want to do it. But what does it say? Because of his oath and because he didn't want to disappoint those people who were there. Kind of like us today, isn't it? We don't want to disappoint the world or the people who are around us, and so we hesitate sometimes to speak the truth of God's word. There's all kinds of things going on in our world today, and they just continue to get worse and worse. the immorality that happens in our world. And we as Christians, do we speak up boldly, or are we fearful to speak and to say things? Our Supreme Court just made a very immoral and a very ungodly decision, a redefinition of marriage. Are we bold to speak the truth of marriage? Are we bold to speak and say marriage is one man and one woman for life, and that's how God designed it, no matter what the world might say? The Supreme Court, as Pastor Snow reminded us last week, and as we know, also had this decision on Roe versus Wade many, many years ago, and the whole life issue. Are we bold to speak up for the life of the unborn? Are we bold to speak up for the life of those at the end of life with the euthanasia issues and so on? Pornography and all of these kinds of things are happening in our world so much. Are we bold to speak up and say, no, we're not going to have any of that kind of thing in our community, not in our neighborhood, it's not going to happen here? Are we bold to speak up and to say the Ten Commandments or the different Lord's Prayer and other things, they can be on community property? Can we speak boldly about that, or do we hesitate and come back and not want to speak? You see, the question for tonight is, what's the real danger? Is the real danger that other people will think less of us, or that other people will say, oh, you're just a bunch of fanatics, or whatever it might be? Or is the real danger for those people who are going against God's will and God's word? What's the real danger out there? Well, the real danger that Jesus reminds us of, and our scriptures teach us here as well, is Jesus says, do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear the one who can destroy both body and soul in hell. Do we have a desire to help those that are being led astray and who are going along with the things of this world to know they are in real danger? And are we willing to stand up for that and to speak that? John knew the real danger. And the real danger was not so much that he would lose his head physically, but that Herod would lose it spiritually. I think it's fascinating that the Apostle Paul, as he's writing to young Pastor Timothy, would tell Timothy to keep your head. But what he meant by that was something a little different than John physically losing his head. Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy and to you and to me. He says to us, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing in his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word, proclaim the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. That means when it's easy and everybody's going along with it, that's in season. But out of season is when nobody goes along with you and they don't want to listen to that. Correct, rebuke, and encourage. With great patience and careful instruction, for the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want them to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth, turn aside to myths, but you keep your head in all situations. Keep your head. Keep the truth of God's word. Keep that truth that God gives to you strongly and boldly, and be willing to speak that truth. That's what God told all of his prophets. Old Testament prophet Amos. Amos was a farmer. He was a common person, not a trained theologian at all. How interesting it is that we have this also as our text for tonight. Just a quick reminder to you, Amos was from Judah. I put a map up there to help us to see that, as you recall, the 12 tribes of Israel were split up to the north and the south, and the north Israel was always at battle with the south Judah. They had two different kings, and they had different places of worship. Because of Jerusalem, that was the place for worship, and if you notice, Jerusalem is there in Judah. But the kings up in the north said, no, we can't have them go down to Judah. So there were two false temples. There were two false places of worship that were established. One was at Bethel, and the other one was way up north at Dan. Well, it's at Bethel tonight that Amos is sent. Now, Amos is a southerner. Amos is from Judah. And God says, Amos, I want you to go into enemy territory. I want you to go up to the north, up into Israel, and I want you to go to the Washington, D.C. of Israel. I want you to go to Bethel, the king's sanctuary. And Amos, I want you to go there, and I want you to speak words of condemnation. Amos, I want you to go up there and say, the king's going to die by the sword. What would happen to us if we said, the president is going to die by whatever it is? And Israel is going to go into exile. America is going to be destroyed. Amos was told to go and speak that to those people. But God wanted Amos to speak that to his people because he loved his people. God sent Amos, God sent John the Baptist, God sends us into the world to speak to those who are outside of the kingdom of God, those who do not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, because they're in real danger. Those who were in Israel were in real danger. Without that relationship with God, they were lost forever. John the Baptizer knew that Herod, without knowing Jesus Christ and trusting in him, was in real danger. Do we realize the real danger that the world is in? God's word to us tonight reminds us of that and reminds us of how very important it is that people know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. It is scary. It is very scary to try and speak when we know that we're going to be ridiculed or people are not going to be listening to us at all. It seems like we're up there all by ourselves. It seems like it's a very, very dangerous kind of a thing for us to be so far and so separated away. But God wants us to know that He gives us the promise. He gives us the promise that as we speak His word, He will be with us and bless us. Amos was sent to trouble the comfortable, and God sends then those that are troubled to comfort those who are troubled. The word of God's law is to come, and those who are comfortable in their sins and the things that are going on, the wrong kinds of things, God's word comes and says, whoa, you're in danger. This is not helpful. This is not going to be good for you. That's to trouble those who are comfortable. And then once we're troubled, I hope that's why we're here tonight, we confessed our sins and we're troubled and know we need our Lord and Savior Jesus, then comes the comforting message to those who are troubled. That's the whole purpose of Amos, John the Baptizer, and you and me, to speak to a world that is very much in trouble. A preacher many, many, many years ago, Reverend Harry Emerson Fosdick, talked about preaching one time, and he was preaching against all kinds of sins. And there was a member of the congregation that would give an amen every time he preached against one of the sins, alcoholism or drunkenness or sex or whatever it is, and she's amen all this time until he preached about gossip. And then she got up and she left and she said, now you quit preaching, now you're meddling. Hit her right where it needed to be. God called Amos to meddle. God called John the Baptist to meddle. God calls you and me to do some meddling. Do some meddling in the world. To do some meddling, maybe with family members, maybe with neighbors, maybe with coworkers, whatever it might be, sharing with them the truth of God's word. Sharing with them the truth of God's word because we're afraid of the terrible danger that they're in. The danger of maybe not knowing Jesus Christ, or maybe living a life that is leading them away from Jesus Christ. God's desire is that all those who are away from Him are brought near to Him. God desires that the blessings are always given. A number of years ago, there was a woman that, because of all kinds of situations, was 6 months behind on all the bills that she had. And she knew that the bills continued to pile up and the creditors continued to come, and one day she heard a knocking at her door. She wasn't going to answer that. She figured that it was more the creditors or maybe the sheriff who was coming to evict her. The knocking continued and she didn't answer the door. The next day, the sheriff came and forcibly opened the door. And he said, "Ma'am, you should have opened your door yesterday. Your neighbors all collected enough money to pay your bills and came to give it to you, but when you didn't answer, the landlord said he couldn't wait any longer. So I'm here to evict you." You know what Jesus says, right? "I stand at the door and knock." Jesus comes to us and through us to the world in order to come and knock at their door, to help them to know the truth of God's word. And his desire is to come in and eat with us and be with us and to have us in his family. His great desire is that we have that fellowship with him, and others who are outside of his family still have that fellowship. He calls us to be the ones that he works through. And so as he speaks through us to others, he's knocking at their door as well. And the same promise for them, that as they hear the message, as they hear the truth, as they realize the sin, as they become uncomfortable because of the sin, then we have that message of Jesus Christ and the new life. The obeying as well as the listening, as we talked about in the children's message, the responding to what God's word is all about. God's word tells us the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. How true that is today. One final message or story, and this is no disrespect to salesmen, but you know, there's a real difference between a salesman and someone who speaks God's word. A salesman will speak all kinds of different things and make the product so attractive, even to the detriment of the truth sometimes, in order to make the sale. But for you and I, as God's people, we will speak the truth even to the detriment of the sale in order for them to know the truth. God doesn't call us to be salesmen. God doesn't call us to go out and try and win people by wonderful, all kinds of promises and so on that's there. But he does call us to be his witnesses, to speak his truth, and as we have opportunity to speak that boldly for him. Amos spoke the truth of God's word. John the Baptist spoke the truth of God's word. You and I, as we speak the truth of God's word, what a blessing, as through us, God comes and brings another one into the kingdom. James will write, "My brothers, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring him back, remember this, whoever turns a sinner from the error of his ways will save him from death and cover over a multitude of sins." What a blessing we have to speak the truth. For those who are in the real danger, to speak God's word of truth so that they might too have the knowledge of Jesus Christ and be saved. May God bless us as we live in a dangerous world, but not the real danger at all. Help us to speak boldly his word. In the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. And now may the peace of God, especially in this world, keep our hearts and our minds centered in Christ Jesus, the truth of his word, until life everlasting. Amen.